This morning, we also have a special treat for you. We've got a guest leading worship for us this morning. Miss Emily Arnold's here. Where's Emily at? Are you around? Oh, there you are. You can come on up and get ready. Emily is from Withfield. Her family has been part of the homeschool co-op that meets here on Tuesdays, and we've known her for a while now, and she's just an awesome young lady of God. Her mom's back here, Ava, and some of your siblings. She's a family of seven kids, big family, and we're glad she's with us this morning. She's got an incredible voice. And I'll just mention this. When we used to do our Saturday night services, we kept hearing somebody sing. We were like looking around, who's that singing? And Emily came to quite a few of our Saturday night services, and it's just apparent that she had an awesome voice. But she's here with us to lead us in worship this morning. We're glad you're here. I want to welcome you, and I hope today will be a time of encouragement for you. I want to open us up in prayer before we get started. So if you would, you just bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time we've got to come here in this place and lift up our voices to you. We are thankful that it's Mother's Day, and it's a time we can reflect and be thankful remembering and honoring our mothers this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for this place, and I'm thankful for your word that challenges us and encourages us. And this morning, may we just honor you through everything that's said and done. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello, everyone. Like you said, I'm Emily Arnold, and it's a pleasure and honor to be here with you guys to worship with you today. And I'd like to start out with the scripture. It's Psalm 47:7, and it says, "For God is King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise." And I'm going to start out with a song called "Sing to the King."
Stand.
Thanks, Emily.
Come on.
Thank you, Em. Could you have a seat for just a minute? Got just a few quick announcements. During first service, I forgot to have everybody sit down for a few minutes, so we had them standing up for all service. Did you enjoy Emily's first song? It's the first time I've got to hear Emily, and she's awesome. We've been hiding her somewhere, and I don't know why. Never amazes me the amount of talent we have at Cornerstone. When you think you've heard the greatest and best, then all of a sudden we get to hear more. She'll have a couple more for you here in just a minute. She does one really powerful song at the end of her set here in just a minute that I want you to be sure and pay close attention to, because I know there's some people in the room this morning that are going through some things. We've got a busy week in front of us. So pay close attention to a song that Emily has for you this morning. It's deep and really meaningful. Just a few quick announcements. First, happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you mothers in the room. Our baby bottle campaign is kicking off. On the resource table back here in the back, you'll find the baby bottles. If you'll pick one up, take it home with you. Fill it up with your extra change that you just have at the end of the day. Fill it up and then return it here on Father's Day weekend. And that will go to help benefit the tri-area pregnancy center. Next week, registration is going to start beginning for our summer life groups. If you're interested in hosting one of those life groups or interested in any way, please let Mike know so he can start getting all the information together for that. Youth will not meet tonight because of Mother's Day weekend. Have I missed anything? I think that's it. This morning, we continue our message on Elijah, and Mike is going to bring you a really, really powerful message on prayer and some of the four steps to prayer and what makes it very powerful for us as Christians to keep us plugged in and recharged. You know, it's amazing how sometimes we get down and wonder, you know, why are we starting to just feel the way we do? It's because we're not staying plugged in. It's kind of strange. Yesterday I had to go buy me a new tractor to mow with. My other one, after 20-some years, died. And would you believe it's got a plug-in on it to where I can keep my cell phone charged? I mean, you know, really. Why do you want to charge your cell phone on your tractor, I guess? But Mike's message this morning, very, very powerful on how to stay plugged in. Emily?
Thank you.
like to also end it with a scripture. It's Psalm 31 through 2. I will exalt you, Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. My final song is called Healer.
happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are with us this morning. This morning's a special service, and we appreciate Emily joining us and leading us in worship this morning. Didn't she do an awesome job? She did. Appreciate them joining us today. This is a special service. I'm going to continue our series on Elijah a little bit later this morning, and I'll share a short message on prayer this morning. But we do want to take a moment out to do a baby and a child dedication this morning. And children are just, they're a blessing. I mean, if you're a parent, I think you would have just, I know you want to strangle them sometimes, but they are a blessing. And the Bible tells us that. And the Bible, in Psalm 127, we see that children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. And I know from having three of my own children that, man, they are a blessing in life. They bring so much joy. They bring so much laughter. They bring so much happiness. Man, children do change your life, and they change it in some great ways. And this morning, we want to take some time to celebrate that. Now, what's really kind of amazing is next week we are celebrating our high school graduates. This week we're celebrating, Mother's Day and a baby dedication. And I just want to tell the new moms out there that in a blink of an eye, you will be where the parents are next week, where they're looking at their children, getting ready to graduate. And time flies. And those of you who've already had children that are grown and out of the house, I'm sure you would agree with that too, that it doesn't seem like long. You just blink, you turn around, and they've grown. And so this morning, it's a time to kind of slow down a little bit. It's a time to slow down and to think about what we do as parents and why we do it. Baby dedication is really, it's open to parents who can truthfully say, I'm going to commit myself to raising this child to know the Lord Jesus Christ by loving, by disciplining, by training, and by setting a positive Christ-like example. Really, a baby dedication service is more about the commitment of the parent and of the church. We know that a service like this, it doesn't signify salvation for the child, but it signifies a commitment on the behalf of the parents and a commitment on the behalf of the church. It really could be described as an opportunity to thank God for the precious gift of your child. It's an opportunity to publicly declare your intentions to raise your child in a Christian home. And it's not only that, it's a family dedication where the parents commit themselves to abide by biblical principles and to raise their child according to God's standards. Not only are you dedicating your child to God, you are dedicating yourself as parents to Christ and to the church. You're committing yourself to maintaining a Christian home where Christ is honored. And we must all remember that a child's first impression of God comes from their parents. So we must strive to live Christ-like at all times. I want to ask now that the parents, I know at least two families that are coming up this morning. If you just come and stand in front here, I'll introduce you to the church. During the first service this morning, we had three babies dedicated. And I'm just thankful to be part of a church where we do have lots of little guys and girls running around. And if you noticed, there's a lot more on the way, too. So I have a feeling we'll be doing this again in a few months. But I want to introduce Travis and Bonnie and Miss Trula Isabel Haynes. Travis is one of our elders here at Cornerstone, and Miss Trula is truly a little special girl. So introduce them. And then Chris and Melissa Jeanette and Adagio Noel. Is that right? Yeah. And when was Trula born? How old is she now?
9 months.
9 months and... So 2.5 months. So 50. So wow, precious little girls. I love that. She is relaxed. That is. And what I want to do is share a prayer of commitment with you. And by coming forward before God and His people, do you hereby declare your desire to dedicate yourselves and your child to the Lord? If so, please respond by saying, "We do." I ask now that you enter into the following commitment in the presence of God and His people. Do you today recognize these children as the gifts of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you now dedicate your children to the Lord who gave them to you all, surrendering all worldly claims upon their lives in the hope that they will belong wholly to Jesus? Do you pledge as parents that with God's fatherly help you will bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into their life? Do you promise to provide through God's blessing for the physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual needs of your children, looking to your own Heavenly Father for the wisdom, love, and strength to serve them and to not use them? And do you promise God helping you to make it your regular prayer that by God's grace your children will come to trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of their sins and for the fulfillment of all His promises to them, even eternal life, and in this faith follow Jesus as Lord and obey His teachings? Parents, God tells us in Deuteronomy that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." So as a church, we urge you as parents to love God with every ounce and fiber of your being, and to teach your child to do the same. And finally, I ask that we as a church make a vow as well. As believers in the body of Christ, we have a responsibility to teach the gospel story to the younger generation. In fact, the Old Testament prophet Joel commands us to tell of God's work to your children and to let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. So I direct my questions now to the congregation. I'm going to ask the congregation to please stand. I ask now that you make the following commitment before God and those who stand before you, so that these children may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ, to help these parents be faithful to God, and to help teach and to train these children in the ways of the Lord so that they might one day trust Him as Savior and Lord? If you accept these responsibilities, please respond by saying, "We do." What is our greatest hope for our children? Our greatest prayer? It's that they choose to come into the arms of our Savior. Let's commit this morning as parents and as a church to do everything we can to make that a reality. Would you pray with me? Lord, these little children are so precious. They're trusting. They're innocent. And yet we know that they live in a world that is tainted by hatred, by greed, by sin, by darkness. Lord, protect these children. We give them to you this morning. Lord, the future seems so uncertain at times, and yet we look at these children and we have hope. Guide their way, Lord. Make their path straight and give them strength. We give them to you. As parents, as families, as spiritual leaders and teachers and mentors and friends, Lord, anoint us to give them an overwhelming sense of security that can only come from you. Lord, we want them to see you in every aspect of our life. So we give them to you. When they are hurting, may we minister to them through your power. When they fail, may we offer them the same grace that you offered us. And when they are lonely, may we reach out to them and fellowship with them and remind them that you will never leave them or forsake them. Lord, we thank you this morning, and we lift up these precious children to you. Lord, we are thankful for the many parents who are in this place. And let us always strive to follow after you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you, guys. So we're in week number 3 of this series on Elijah. And it's been a great, great study as we look at the life of a great man of God and learn from it. The first week we looked at Elijah and how he came onto the scene to confront King Ahab. And if you know the story of the nation of Israel, at this time it was divided. And he came to the northern kingdom. And it was a kingdom that was, King Ahab was the 19th consecutive evil king. And that's kind of where Elijah came onto the scene, and we see him confront the king and speak really judgment, pronounce judgment onto the nation. And then last week we talked about his experience on Mount Carmel and encountering the prophets of Baal, and we discussed the false idols in our life. And then today we come to this place where we're talking about the power of prayer. And Elijah was a man of prayer. And as soon as I mentioned prayer, I can't help but realize that many people in this place this morning are struggling in your prayer life. You have questions like, is he really there? Can he really hear me? Is he listening? I just don't think that prayer really works. And I think as we go through troubles and trials and tribulations in life, that many of us get to a place where sometimes we really wonder, how do I pray and how should I pray and why do I pray? And this morning, I hope it's an encouragement. I hope it's encouragement to let you know that He is there and He is listening. And maybe if you're not even struggling right now, maybe you've been there in the past and you can relate. Maybe you've been praying for a marriage and things just didn't work out the way you intended. Maybe you were praying for an addiction and for God to help you overcome it. Maybe you were praying to heal a relationship in your life. And you've been at that place where you said, God, why is this happening to me? I don't understand. Do you even hear me? And let me tell you today, we're going to dive into the life of Elijah. And this guy, he understood prayer. He understood it. And I want to take you to the New Testament and the book of James and let you look at the legacy of Elijah. Centuries later, after he was long gone, this is how Elijah was remembered. And if you look in James chapter 5, verse 17, it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And there's several things I love about this passage. But one is that it said he was a man just like us. He wasn't a superhero. I mean, he was a regular, ordinary guy that allowed God to use him in an incredible way. So we see Elijah was just a man. And he prayed fervently. What does that word fervent mean? That's not like a word that I use a lot. But what is fervent? I looked it up. It says the word fervent means having or displaying a passionate intensity. I like it. Having passionate intensity. And just as we start off this morning, do you have a fervent prayer life? A prayer life that is characterized by passion and characterized by intensity. I mean, that's the type of prayer life that Elijah had. And that's what we remember him by. Is that prayer life that is passionate, a prayer life that is vibrant, a prayer life that is alive, and a prayer life that that never really gave up. That's power, to come before God and to pray fervently that it might not rain. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. That's crazy. That's power that he could do that. And I just can't remember the last time that I would characterize my prayer life as that fervent, as that passionate, as we see the example of Elijah here. And when I look at Elijah's prayer life, I think about how many of us pray. And instead of praying with passion and intensity, I see little prayers with little intensity and with little passion and with little confidence. We just kind of pray, God, would you help me? God, would you be with me? God, can you bring some healing? We just pray, and then we look at Elijah, and man, we see Elijah knows how to pray powerfully. And what I want to do this morning is look at a story in Scripture that helps us maybe understand how we should pray. Because if you're struggling in your prayer life, if you're frustrated, if you're tired, if you're burnt out, I want you to know that there's a better way to live. That God offers a solution to the sin and the pain and the discouragement in your life. And when we come before Him, we learn a little bit more about the power of prayer. Now, if you remember, I mentioned Elijah went up to King Ahab and he told them, they need to turn things around. You are wicked. You're doing wicked things in the name of God. And of course, Ahab didn't. And Elijah said, here's the deal. If you don't do it, God's going to take away the rain. And for 3.5 years, it did not rain. And Elijah, I mean, during this time that God kind of hid him and protected him and provided for him and used that time as a preparation for Elijah for greater things yet to come. And then we get to the place we are in 1 Kings 18. So if you got your Bibles with you this morning, turn 1 Kings chapter 18. That's where we're going to be this morning. On the back of your worship guide is a place you can take notes and kind of follow along. But 1 Kings 18. And we're gonna dive in and read the story, and then I'll kind of go back and unpack it a little bit. So 1 Kings 18, verse 42 is really where we pick up. And Elijah, you know, he's been waiting this 3.5 years, no rain. He finally senses that God tells him it's time. It's time to bring the rain back. And so here's his prayer. And he goes in verse 42, it says, "So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down on the earth, and he put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, 'Go up now, look toward the sea.' And he went up and looked and said, 'There is nothing.' And he said, 'Go again 7 times. And at the 7th time, he said, 'Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea.' And he said, 'Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you.'" And so what we see when we look at this little section, this little brief insight into the life of Elijah, here's what I want you to know. The reality is, and I firmly believe, that many of us struggle with our prayer life. And that concerns me. It concerns me as a church when if we want God to guide us and to empower us and to give us strength and to help us through life, if we're not going to Him in prayer and we're not tapping into that power source in life that really provides the guidance we need, then we're going to struggle. And I know consistency is tough. I know authenticity can be tough at times. And we do feel like sometimes God doesn't answer, but I want you to know, and I want you to understand this morning, and if you're going to walk away with any truth that you can implement in your life, it's simply the fact that God is there and God cares and God hears our prayers. And when we really look at that, hopefully this morning will help you understand just and maybe extract some truth that you can use in your life to walk away with a better, more effective prayer life. And there's really four things out of this passage I want to talk about when it comes to prayer. Four different things that lead to an effective prayer life. And the first one, and if you guys are taking notes, this is the first thing here I want to talk about. Effective prayers are humble prayers. Effective prayers are humble prayers. And we think about that. Think about this. You got to put yourself in picture where Elijah was, what he's doing. He climbs up to the top of the mountain. I mean, now for us, this is like a big deal. I mean, man, if we were going hiking, I mean, we would get all our gear and GPS and water packs, and we would go up to the top of the mountain. But he goes to the top of the mountain, and he goes up there so he could be alone with God. And when he gets there, he felt like he needed to get God's attention, and so he knew he needed rain. He climbed to the very top, and if you look down in verse 42, it says he bowed himself down on the earth. And he put his face between his knees. So I want you to picture this. He makes it to the top, and the first thing he does is he just falls to his knees, and he just puts his face down. I mean, just on the ground, and he comes before God humbly. And what you see there is he is submitting, he's surrendering, he's saying, "God, you are God, and I'm not. I'm surrendering my life before you." He came and put himself in a posture of humility. A posture of just coming before him on his knees. And yes, I know you can pray, you know, driving down the road, you can pray anytime, but there are times in life where we just need to allow our posture to show our humility. There's times in life we just need to fall on our face before God and honor Him for who He is and what He has done. And really, Elijah gives us this picture of humbling himself. He knew he couldn't do it on his own. And I think that's one of the first things we have to realize in prayer. We can't do it on our own. And sometimes just by coming before God, dropping to our knees and acknowledging Him, we're showing that. God, we need your help. I'm small, I'm tiny, I'm inadequate, I can't do this, but you are big, you are God, you are holy, you're the sustainer, you're the provider, you're the healer, and you can do this. And we come before Him like that, man, that's when we start understanding what it means to submit ourselves before God. James 4 says it this way in verse 6 through 10. It says, He gives more grace. It says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he's going to flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Think about that. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. If you look at that promise, God, who is the Creator, who is the Sustainer, is saying, when we submit ourselves to Him, then He will lift us up. But instead, we try to lift ourselves up. We come before God with prideful attitudes and thinking we've got everything together and thinking we've got everything under control and that we don't need God's help. And we never allow ourselves to be humbled before Him. And what's interesting about this passage, it talks about how we do humble ourselves. How do we humble ourselves? We submit. We submit ourselves to God. We allow Him to be the Lord, the Master, the Ruler, the one in charge of our life. It's saying we don't have to be in control, that we are going to allow Him to lead our lives. And then it goes on to say, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And then it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Now, I mean, you know, that's pretty bold there, right? I mean, he's saying, James is telling us we need to submit ourselves, we need to surrender, we need to come before Him and show our humbleness. And then he's saying, and you have to realize, you're just a bunch of low-down, dirty sinners, right? I mean, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, be wretched, mourn, weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Sometimes we just need to acknowledge our need for God. A part of humbleness is acknowledging our own sinfulness, acknowledging that we don't have it all together, that we're not perfect. And if you go to a church where everybody acts like everything is perfect and everything is okay, then it's a church that's struggling in this area of humbleness and pride, and humility and pride. Because really, we have to realize we're all in this together. We're sinners. And we need God's help to cleanse us from that unrighteousness. We need God's help to guide us and set us on this new life that we have. But humbling ourselves and acknowledging who we really are and who God is the first step to this humility. Humility precedes the miraculous in our life, the miraculous things that happen in our lives. Humility precedes the great work that Elijah is about to do. He comes before God and humbles himself. Notice he does this before he makes requests of God. He just comes before God and humbles himself. And if you want God to listen to your prayers and you feel like you're struggling in this area, then maybe one of the first things you need to do is address the pride in your life, to address the sin in your life, and just to come humbly before God and acknowledge Him for who He is. The second aspect of this, if you're taking notes, is effective prayers are not only humble prayers, but they are specific prayers. They're specific prayers. We look at this story in the book of 1 Kings here, and I've got to be honest with you. So many times in my life, I think about the prayers that I pray, and they're not very specific. They're kind of the wishy-washy. They're kind of the God, be with us. God, give us strength. God, help all the people who are sick or hurting. God, bless everyone who's struggling. Bless all the people who are homeless. God, you know, the people that aren't here in church, just convict them so that they'll come next week. Those type of prayers. You know, those type of prayers that, you know, they're generic prayers. They're non-specific prayers. And I don't know if you find yourself falling into that trap of just generic, non-specific prayers, but I think we do it for a reason. I think the reason we pray like that is because it kind of absolves us from any responsibility to do anything about it. We can say, God, bless all the people who are hungry in this town tonight. And then we, like, you know, I just pray. That's a good prayer. But is that really what God wants? When we pray specifically and say, God, I pray for this person by name, you find something pretty incredible happen. You find that when you pray specifically, that God, many times he puts a burden on your heart. He puts a responsibility on your heart. He doesn't leave you where you are. Instead, he moves you into action. And I think sometimes we just pray generic prayers because we really don't want to do anything, because we're lazy. well, let's look at what he says here in verse 43. You know, Elijah, he knew exactly what he wanted. He needed rain. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. This is a drought, a famine. This is an incredibly harsh time. And he's saying, give us water. He's saying, you know, and he's praying. He gets up in verse 43. He looks toward the sea. He went up and looked again. He is praying for rain here. And what we see is that Elijah was very specific in what he asked for. God desires that specific type of prayer. I think as long as we just pray, I mentioned before, it's like the guy who prayed over his grocery so he didn't have to pray at each meal. You know, that's the type of prayers we do. I mean, we're like lazy in our prayer life. You know, y'all thinking, oh, that's a good idea. No, that's not my point. I mean, we get lazy and we think, okay, what's the bare minimum I can do? How can I get through this? And do you realize, again, coming humbly before God, acknowledging who He is and who we are, do you understand who you're talking to when you pray? And yes, I mean, we're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray continuously. But do we really understand? We're talking to the Creator of the universe. The God that formed you and made you before you were even born. The God that knows every detail about your life, that can count every hair on your head. That God, He is the God that you are talking to. And He wants us to be specific. He wants us to mention things by name. He wants us to let Him know what we need, what's on our hearts. You're not going to surprise Him. You're not going to confuse Him. But are we coming to Him with specific prayers? James 4:2 says this, you do not have because you do not ask. That's pretty simple. There's many things in our life we think they're either too small to bother God with, so we don't bring them up, or we think they're too big and He can't do it. I had somebody tell me one time and said, oh, even God can't do that. I'm like, say what? Even God? No, God, the Creator of the universe. So nothing's too little or too big for Him. And He wants us to be specific. And instead, we get busy. And we become a group of people who just go through life just thinking, okay, check mark. I did my prayers for tonight. Check mark. I prayed at church today. Check mark. Is that really the type of prayer life that you desire? It's not the kind I want. I want a prayer life that is vibrant, that is alive, that is fervent, that has passion, that has intensity. That's the type of prayer life I want. Number three, if you guys are taking notes, is effective prayers are persistent prayers. They're persistent prayers. And this is what I love about Elijah. If you look at verse 43 again, it says, he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and looked and said, there's nothing there. There is absolutely nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Now, here's the deal. He's up on top of the mountain. He's humbled himself. He's praying a specific prayer. And he says, okay, he's got a servant with you. He said, I'm praying. Okay, I want you to go look and see if it's raining yet. So the servant goes, looks, and comes back. Not raining. Okay, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to send you back. Look again. He comes back. Still not raining. He goes, sends him again. This happened 7 times. Now, to understand this, imagine yourself, if you're a parent, imagine yourself telling your child to do this. It kind of puts it in a new perspective. Go and look for rain. Okay. You know, the eye roll, and I'm getting it good now because, I don't think my daughter's in here this service, so I can make fun of her. But she's getting that down good, that eye roll and swagger. You know, so she, you know, tell her to go one time. It's not doing anything. Okay, go back again. Why? Right? That would be the next thing you hear. Why? Well, no, just do it. Why? Because I'm your daddy. Why? Because I told you so. You know that? Go and do it. Come back. It's still not raining. Okay, go again. And about the 7th time, I think you're going to have a volcano blow. Right? What are you thinking? Are you crazy? Do you just get a clue? It's not raining. It's not going to. What are you doing? I mean, that's my impression of the servant. I don't know what he said, but that would be, I've got to think he's at this point after being told to do the same thing 7 times, that he's getting a little testy here and saying, what's going on? And yet Elijah is persistent. He does it again, and he does it again, and he doesn't say, he doesn't get frustrated, he doesn't get angry, he doesn't get tired. He keeps saying, now go check. Okay, now go check. Go check again. And what you see is that he is laser focused on what God has called him to do. And he is not giving up. He prays, and he prays some more, and he goes and checks, and he comes back, he prays, and 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 he prays. And you've got to understand, he is persistent. And what I really like about Elijah, he doesn't allow all the outward circumstances of his life to dictate whether or not he's assured about what God's told him to do. He is confident. This is what God has told me to do. I'm going to do it. I don't care if it looks like I'm crazy. I don't care if I'm failing time after time after time after time. He said, I'm going to be persistent. And, you know, I think about our prayer lives, and I just have to be honest. I don't think persistence is a word, is an adjective that describes prayer life for most Christians. We pray one time. Nope, not it. Okay, do something else. Our lives look like pinball machines. We go over here, and nope, no, that's not it. We go over here, nope, nope, and bang, bang, bang. And we don't slow down long enough for God to speak into our lives. I want to challenge you to be persistent. To just slow down and listen to God. And if He's called you to do something, He's got the power to do it. Are you going to buckle down and say, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I mean, we see time and time again how prayer sometimes, how faith, how persistence leads us to take steps of faith that we normally wouldn't take. It allows us to trust Him. It allows us to have confidence, even in the face of adversity, even in the face of suffering, even in the face of sickness. It allows us to have confidence that God is with us and that God's going to move on our behalf. And what we see with Elijah is he's not giving up on timing. He's not getting mad and saying, God's not answering or God's not hearing me. He doesn't get frustrated. He doesn't throw in the towel. He doesn't say, I'm done. He doesn't say this doesn't work. He just prays. He just keeps praying. And he keeps praying. And he prays and he prays and he prays some more. He's persistent. James 5:16 is another one of my favorite verses. And it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The prayer. Maybe you've heard that verse is the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent. What's that word fervent mean again? It means passionate, intensity. Again, most of us struggle to stay awake when we're praying. And Elijah's saying here, pray fervently. I mean, pray with passion. Pray with intensity. Pray out loud. Whatever it takes. I mean, let's have kicked up prayer lives that are passionate, that are fervent, that when we're praying humbly, we're praying specifically, we're praying persistently. That's the type of prayer life that we need. So many times we get down in the dumps and we feel like God's not moving or God's not working. And that's when we need to come back to that verse and realize that the prayer of a righteous person has great power. It has great power as it is working. And so here's my question for you this morning. What have you been praying for? What have you quit praying for that you need to start praying for again? What have you given up on and just said, nah, God, that's not going to happen, and I've just moved on? What is God calling you to continue praying about and be persistent about? Maybe it's for a job. Maybe, you know, you're miserable at your job and you're saying, God, I need you to open up another opportunity for my life. Maybe it's in your marriage and you're at the point of about to give up and God's saying, no, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep working. Get help. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's for somebody in your family that doesn't know Christ. And you've just given up on them. You turned your back on them and said, you know, they've chosen that path. They don't need my prayer. Whatever it is, I want to challenge you. Are you persistent? Are you going to pray with boldness? Are you going to pray with fervency? Are you going to pray with confidence? And if you look, so far we've talked about effective prayers are humble prayers, acknowledging who we are in light of who God is. Effective prayers are specific prayers, where we're not afraid to call out things by name. Effective prayers are persistent prayers, where we're just not giving up. We're just staying and praying. And then number four is effective prayers are expectant prayers. Expectant prayers. Man, this is the one that I look at Elijah and I'm just blown away. This is the one where Elijah on Mount Carmel, you know, you see that he's humbled himself. You see he's praying. We see his persistent prayer. We see that he's not quitting. And then verse 44, man, this is awesome. He says, and at the seventh time, he said, behold, a little cloud, like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. Here's what the servant didn't say. Elijah, man, there is a hurricane coming our way. He didn't say, wow, there is a huge thunderstorm on the horizon. The servant came back and said, there's a little tiny cloud. You know how big it is? It's like the size of my hand. And this is where we would be like, okay, let's get on the Weather Channel. Let's check the radar. Let's see what they say first. And Elijah just jumps up, yes, yes. I mean, he's got this incredible optimism. He says, it's the rain, it's coming. You know, that's the kind of optimism he has. I mean, he's saying, there's this little cloud. Okay, let's get ready. Let's get everything in place. Let's evacuate the town. Man, it's coming. Let's get out. Whoa. I mean, he's just excited. You know what it made me think about? Made me think about a scene from a movie of incredible optimism. There's a heartwarming film here, and I'll just show you a little video clip so you can kind of see. I didn't show this the first service, so you guys get a treat here.
What are my chances?
Not good.
You mean not good like 1 out of 100?
I'd say more like 1 out of 1,000,000.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah!
I love that clip. Let's see what type of movies. I'm sorry. The highly intellectual movies there. You're telling me I've got a chance. I mean, Elijah jumps up. There's a chance. It's going to rain. He's excited. He's passionate. He's been praying with fervency and not giving up. And he's saying, you know what? He's optimistic. It's going to happen. He's getting ready. He's getting everything in motion, putting everything, because he knew God was going to move and he knew God was going to do the miraculous. He knew, I mean, he just knew. Okay, I've been praying for this. There's a little tiny cloud coming up. Okay, God's spoken. He's going to do it. So let's get ready. Man, is that how we pray? Do we have expectancy when we see just a glimpse of who God is and what he's done and him moving in our lives? Do we start rearranging our life or do we wait? We wait to the last possible second. We don't really trust him sometimes. Mark 11 says this. It says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Is that the type of expectancy we're having in our prayer life? And no, this is not a verse about, oh, I want a Cadillac with 20-inch rims. And no, I mean, that's not the type of prayer we're talking about here. But if you, he's saying, whatever you ask for in prayer, and remember the steps I've said before, we humble ourselves before God, we're specific. We're praying with persistence, but whatever we ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That's the type of prayer life that Elijah models for. He knew God was going to move. God was going to act. He had faith. And that's encouraging to me. So what happened here to Elijah after he called out all the troops, he evacuated the town, everybody's gone. You keep reading. I encourage you to go this week and read the rest of the passage. He talks about the sky grows black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah. And what we see is that God answers prayer. God moves supernaturally on behalf of his people. We have an incredible model there of prayer. And what I want us to realize sometimes is sometimes God does tell us to be still and wait. Sometimes He calls us into action. Billy Graham wrote in a book, he wrote, and this is from The Hope for a Troubled Heart. He said, no matter where we are, God is as close as prayer. He is our support. He is our strength. He will help us make our way up again from whatever depths we have fallen. We don't consider that sometimes Jesus is our strength simply to sit still. He says, be still, know that I am God. Our natural tendency when we have a painful happening in our lives is to go into action, to do something. Sometimes it's wiser to just wait and just to be still. The answers will come. We may be sure that God is true to His word and answers all sincere prayers offered in the name of the Lord Jesus. His answer may be yes, it may be no, it may be wait. If it's no or wait, we cannot say that God has not answered our prayer. It simply means that the answer is different from what we expected. When we pray for help in trouble or healing in sickness or for deliverance in persecution, God may not give us what we ask for because that may not be His wise and loving will. He will answer our prayer in His own way, and He will not let us down in our hour of need. And what I love about we've got to realize God answers prayers. It may not be the answer we're expecting. It may not be the answer we want, but He is there. He hears our prayers, and He does answer them. It may mean wait. The timing's not right. It may mean it's time to go into action. It may mean that, you know what? No, instead of this path, you need to go down this path. But He answers our prayers, and He hears us, and He will not let us down in our hour of need. So let me just ask you again. If we look at our prayer lives, are they humble? Is your prayer life consistent? Do you truly humble yourself before God? And that starts with turning from the sin in our life. That starts with getting our lives right before God and humbling ourselves and knowing who He is. Are our prayers specific? Who and what are you praying for? If I gave you a sheet of paper and say, give me the list of five people you've been praying for on a regular basis, could you do that? What about persistent? What have you given up on that you need to keep praying about? And you just say, God, I've just given up. And God's saying, keep praying. Keep praying. And do you pray with a spirit of expectancy? I mean, do you pray in a spirit of defeat or a spirit of power? I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. My prayer for this morning is that God would move us and stir us and change us to be people of passion and people of prayer. For some of you here this morning, it's been a long time since you've connected with God through prayer. And maybe especially in a real and an intimate way. Maybe you stopped praying for someone that you should be praying for. Maybe you haven't humbled yourself, but you're here and you say today, I need to be recharged. I like thinking about it this way. A lot of people have smartphones now. It's incredible what you can do with smartphones. You've got all this, you've got all these features and you've got all these things you can do with them. You've got all this stuff here. But there's a problem with most smartphones. And if you have one, you know what I'm talking about. If you use it about halfway through the day, you end up with a dead battery, right? So what do you have to do? You have to plug it back in and recharge it. And what I see is that's a picture of how many of us live our life. We have this unlimited power and potential at our disposal, and yet we just like charge it up one time during the week, and we think that's going to last us all week long. And we wonder when we start getting discouraged, when we start getting frazzled, when we start getting worried, when we start getting busy, when we start getting weary, we wonder, okay, why is this happening? We're not connecting. We're not recharging. We're not connecting back to our power source. And that is what prayer does. Prayer enables us. It gives us strength. When we're frazzled and worn down, it gives us the encouragement to keep going. Bill Hybels wrote a book called Too Busy Not to Pray. And he said this, prayerless people cut themselves off from God's peace and from His prevailing power. And a common result is that they feel overwhelmed, overrun, beaten down, pushed around, and defeated by a world operating with a take-no-prisoners approach. It's surprising to me how many are willing to settle for lives like that. Don't be one of them. Nobody has to live this way. Prayer is the key to unlocking God's consistent and prevailing power in your life. Whatever battles you face, look to God for your strength and for your peace. Not because I say so, but because the Bible does. In Psalm 29:11, to be exact, the Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses people with peace. And that's the kind of life God wants for each and every one of us. And the reality is, We've got to be a people of prayer. For some of you here this morning, though, the reality is you can't pray to someone you don't know. And you may be here, and you maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you think you do. Maybe you think you've been following Him. But the truth is, you haven't asked Him to be the Lord of your life. I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He cares about your hurt. He cares about your pain. And He came here on this earth to give you a new way of life. He came to rescue you, to set you free from that life. He came to take your addictions. He came to take your pain. He came to take your relational struggles. He came to take all that upon Himself. And He went to the cross. And He died in your place to take the punishment that you deserve. You know, and 3 days later, He rose again. And here is what I want you to know. He stands before you today. His arms are open wide. And He's saying, "Come to Me. Come to Me, all you who are weary, who are heavy laden, who are burdened, who are tired, who are frazzled, who are worn down, and I will give you peace. I will give you strength. I will give you comfort. I will give you power." That's My God. That's what He wants and desires for each one of us. And He's just saying, don't run any longer. Stop. Ask me into your life. Surrender. Submit. Come before Me humbly. Acknowledge who I am. And I will hear your prayers. And today, as we close out this morning, I'm just going to ask that you bow your heads with me this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful that Your Word encourages us to be a people of prayer. Lord, I pray that this morning that we would just humbly surrender our lives to You. Lord, I pray for the people here this morning that don't have a relationship with You. Lord, may this be the time that they humbly submit, they humbly surrender, where they just acknowledge who You are and what You've done on the cross, how You came and lived a perfect life to set us free and to give us a new life. Lord, I pray for each and every person here this morning that we would be confident in the fact that we will be with You for all of eternity. Lord, I just pray for each and every person. And if that's you here this morning, if you're saying, I'm not sure, I don't really know, would you just take this morning and just give your life to Christ, just to pause, to slow down and acknowledge Him and who He is? Would you just pray with me? Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know I'm in desperate need of being rescued and forgiven. Lord, I trust You and You alone to save me. Help me surrender my life to You. Help me to turn away from sin each day. Lord, I know that true freedom can only be found in You, so help me realize the abundant love, the abundant life that You offer me forever. Lord, help me to just simply follow You. Lord, I thank You that You've taught us how to pray. You've given us an example. You've given us a model. You've given us a way to pray so that we can honor You each and every day. Lord, your word tells us, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Forever and ever. And all God's people said. Amen. And as we close out this morning, I don't know what God's impressed upon your heart. If He's calling you to a deeper level of prayer in your life, a deeper level of obedience, maybe you just need to come up to the altar and spend some time submitting yourself humbly before God. Maybe you made a commitment to God this morning. And you wanted to, and you just need to acknowledge Him as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to be at the cross this morning, and I just ask that you come up and you would meet with me this morning. We're going to stand up. If y'all stand up right now, we're just going to sing a song of response just for Jesus to lead us to the cross, and let's honor Him this morning. pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, this morning as You've challenged us in our prayer life, I pray that we would respond. I pray that we would take steps to abide in You. Just to talk with You day to day, moment by moment, hour by hour. We would not neglect just communicating with the God who created us. Lord, I'm thankful to see people respond and know that You have tugged at our hearts this morning to follow after You. Lord, we're just thankful to be here in this place this morning. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. We'll see you guys next week. If you're a mom here and you haven't been back to the cafe, there's a special Mother's Day table for you. So, oh, yeah, we do have a special Mother's Day song that Emily's going to play as you're leaving.